Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It is Niall and Andrea here. And this week we're going to be talking about the new music that we loved the most and music we'd like to talk about that happened and occurred in April 2021. Sometimes, Andrea, I have to remind myself what year it is because who knows what year it is. Like, is 2021, 2022, 2020? I don't know anymore. It's hard to remember these times.
I'm deciding to no longer observe time. So I'll stick with your kind of arbitrary sense of, like, you know, best of the month or whatever, man. But yeah. I'm not being amongst this system anymore. I'm stepping out of it. But happy to talk about the music that came out in the past month, I guess.
It's a good, she's doing air quotes there. A good marker of time music is for me anyway. And it's been very much that in the last couple of months and this year. But before that, we have a couple of updates on things that we've addressed in previous episodes.
Yeah, first up, the Grammys have responded to our How to Win a Grammy episode directly to us. They have said they will no longer use anonymous review committees to determine its nominees. Now, they didn't mention us by name, but anyone who listens to us will remember that we did an in-depth look on How to Win a Grammy, and we were pretty critical of this area of the Grammys. They say it's due to criticism from The Weeknd, and we'll let them go with that. But very interesting development in that, because, I mean, that it's been working that way for a really, really long time. I was very, very surprised over the weekend to read this headline that they were no longer doing that. They're also changing the number of categories in which different Academy members can vote, and they've added two new awards to, quote, reflect its ongoing commitment to evolve with the musical landscape and to ensure that the Grammy Awards rules and guidelines are transparent and equitable. You know, they obviously listened. Just to remind people that what The Weeknd was saying about the Grammys, he tweeted, "The Grammys remain corrupt. You owe me, my fans, and the industry transparency." And I think he said that he would never attend or would never receive a Grammy or something until he'd basically be boycotting the Grammys until this selection process was put under review. And now it is. So that's great, I think. That's a bit of good news.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good for a behemoth like the Grammys to take some real world considerations and changes and relevancy checks in their lives. I think obviously the Grammys this year, because of COVID, was obviously a totally different experience, and I think it actually worked really well. So hopefully they continue that kind of buzz. A welcome thing to hear that their committees will no longer be secret, and that is very, very good. The other thing that we talked about on our last episode was about the Broken Record campaign, actually, and just worth obviously expanding a bit on what's happened since. Well, it's been a terrible time for anyone who's looking to take over a football club or interested in football. Not least, Spotify owner Daniel Ek, who says he wants to buy Arsenal Football Club because he's been a fan for years and years and years. At this point now, it seems like a very fanciful desire that he wants to do, but also he's got a lot of backlash for this in the last week because, for obvious reasons, Spotify are in a position where they are not paying musicians in a massive capacity in terms of per stream, as we discussed on the last episode. But, you know, he's looking to make a bid of $1.8 billion to buy Arsenal Football Club, and got a lot of backlash for that, saying,
to admire the brass balls of these people all the same, don't you? To just not respond at all to criticisms about the fact that Spotify's raking in all this money. Artists are getting nothing. And then he's like, oh, I think I'll buy Arsenal.
It's a classic like Silicon Valley cool CEO move. It was like, I'm gonna buy a football club that I love,
and a football team.
Yeah, wasn't it in Succession where they bought the wrong football team?
They bought Hearts, I think, for the dad, and he was like, I don't like them, I like this other team.
Hibs, I think it was Hibs. Yeah.
Very funny. So it has that sort of vibe, or like what's his name from Silicon Valley? You know, Gavin Belton.
Yeah.
It feels like something that he would do.
Exactly.
That's really mad. As if, you know, football and money and corruption and the capitalistic nature of kind of European leagues haven't been in the news enough lately. This is all coming full circle.
You know, I mean, yesterday in Manchester at Old Trafford, all the fans were protesting because they want their club, they want ownership back of their club from the Glazers, which has been going on for a long time, but it's really swelled because of the Super League stuff. But Daniel Ek said he wants to include the Arsenal Supporters Trust in the board and stuff like that. So that's something different. Now, if only he would do that with musicians. So there you go. Maybe we should do that.
This is it.
I saw all those tweets that were like, oh, is he going to pay them 0.003 per of a cent per pass? And he's like, yeah, all right. I get it. Fine. Yeah,
very good. See, that's it now. I don't see these tweets anymore.
Good.
And my brain is just very chill.
Good. And the other thing that happened over the weekend, Liverpool hosted a number of events, trial events for post-COVID trial music events. There was two nights of the Circus nightclub, which we had people like Blessed Madonna, Fatboy Slim, Sven Veit, Hot Since 82. And it just really looked like it was such a beautiful thing to see all this footage on Instagram. Suddenly you're like, this is happening right now. This is a gig that people... So basically... The trial pilot experience, it also happened actually later that yesterday, the band Blossoms played to 5,000 people yesterday. So that was a whole thing. So the way these things work is that you get a COVID test the day before, and if you're negative, they let you in. So I don't know what the actual follow-up is on this, but it's been 15 months since clubs have been let open and venues and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a long, long time. It gave me a lot of hope into seeing how we could actually get back to live music. And obviously there's a lot of things being announced at the moment. There's, I think, gigs in the Olympia from the likes of Kojak and For Those I Love that are happening. But we want to see what happens with the outcome of this. Obviously that Barcelona event said there was no major outbreaks or any outbreaks actually at the event itself. People did get COVID afterwards is what happened.
I'll be honest with you, Niall. I couldn't bring myself to look at the videos of the gigs. It was from the Liverpool gigs. I couldn't do it. I saw them come up and I went to click in and I was like, I actually don't have the heart to look at all these people having a nice time and feel really bitter about it. So I just didn't.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
I just have to wait.
I understand it, but I also felt like I felt a little bit like, oh, that stings, that hurts. But then after a while, I was like, no, this is good, because the more that other countries, especially the UK, do it, the more then we will. Like, they have talked about, our government here talked about doing pilot events last week. That is only happening because they saw this happen and they know that they can't just rest on their laurels and do nothing for the industry that's been closed the longest and will remain to be the closest the longest. But it gave me a lot of hope this year, you know, that we might get back to something.
There was also a two-day festival in Wuhan as well.
Was there?
Past little while, the Wuhan Strawberry Music Festival on Saturday. It was mostly all outdoors as far as I can see, and it had to be online last year, so they are, you know, obviously Jesus, like the the virus obviously like originated there. Yeah. So they've been kind of living with this longer than anywhere else in the world. So hopefully they all had a nice time and that it goes okay.
Well, you know, I mean, there is cause for optimism. You know, there wasn't a roadmap for the date and return of live events, even though some gigs obviously are being sold. But, you know, Minister Catherine Martin here did say that they're working on proposals for a phased approach to reopening small music venues in a seated capacity, and recently established the Return to Live Entertainment Working Group, who will submit their guidelines for live entertainment sector next week. Also, are preparing proposals on the holding of a limited number of pilot large events for sport and music, including both indoor and outdoor events. 5,000 capacity. So this could happen in Ireland soon, and that would be really interesting. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people looking for a ticket for that as well. So yeah, we'd be dying for it.
And, you know, I think lumping it in with sport is a really good way to go about it, because if we know anything about most of the people that are in government right now, but specifically our Taoiseach, is that he doesn't really seem to have that much of an interest in arts, but he's really into his sports.
So yeah, I mean, he knows where Coppers is, like as he said last week.
Oh, did you see the state of that? Oh my God, cringed out of my skin. Yeah,
very, very cringe, yeah. They also talked about, at the end of June, they look at what indoor hospitality would mean. Restaurant, bars, nightclubs was included in that. And all of those people who are waiting for their casinos to open up again were also mentioned.
I haven't heard much about the casino
industry.
The casino industry, they've either been quite quiet or people haven't been listening to them.
How many casinos are there in Ireland?
I don't know. I don't know many people working in the casino industry anyway.
Yeah. There's 20, 20 casinos in Ireland. There you go. That's a good quiz question.
There you go.
Okay, well, we move on to the music we want to talk about that we've heard in the last month that we really, really like. Great. Yeah, okay, not? Let's do that. We will start with an album. What do you want to start with the one we both want to talk about?
Yeah,
let's do that. All right.
Our first album is New Long Leg by Dry Cleaning. My favorite album of the year so far. Really into it. What are you? Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it.
Let's hear a bit of a song
from Dry Cleaning. New Long Leg. This is called Scratch Card. You know, like it.
But you're still charming. Rose falling and exploding. You can't save the world on your own, I guess. Don't send me it. You keep it. You keep it. You keep it. Arms can't open the door, Kung Fu Council. It'll be okay, I just need to be weird and hide for a bit and eat an old sandwich from my bag. I've come here to make a ceramic shoe and I've come to smash what you made. I've come to learn how to mingle, I've come to learn how to dance. I've come to join a knitting circle. I've come to hand weave my own bunk bed ladder in a short sessions. It's a Tokyo bouncy ball, it's an Oslo bouncy ball, it's a Rio de Janeiro bouncy ball. Filter, I love these mighty oaks, don't you? Do everything and feel nothing. Wristband, theme park, scratch card, lanyard. Do everything and feel nothing. Do everything.
I was Dry Cleaning. Album is called New Long Leg, and Andrea and myself are both huge fans of it.
I'll tell you something, Niall. The worst experience of your life will be listening to this quite loud on your stereo and singing / talking along with it, and then the stereo cutting out and then hearing your own little Dublin accent like talking along with it. I had that experience last week before and it wasn't a good time, so I just
I think it's the kind of album that you just find yourself saying the words walking up the stairs. That's me. I spend 17 pounds on mushrooms for you because I'm silly.
Yeah, a woman in aviators firing a bazooka. I want to put that on a pillow. I love it so much. It's fantastic. And it's such a, it's a genuinely really interesting album. It's one of those albums that has come out and I'm just like, I feel like I do really want to sit with this for a while. Like I knew immediately that I liked it. It, like, the sound of it caught me. Obviously, Florence Shaw's really like engaging vocals. She kind of draws you in really quickly. But also, like, the musicianship here is brilliant. Like, whether she was on the songs or not, these would be great songs. And then you bring in the layer of the lyrics, which are just so surreal and strange and not at all kind of linked together.
They're
just these kind of images.
Yeah, they're like lyrics that are overheard in conversation or misremembered or
non sequiturs. Kind of just like one image after another, and it kind of doesn't matter like if they all make sense. Most of the time they don't. I think Scratch Card Lanyard is one of the more sort of narrative songs on the record, and then the other ones you do have to kind of dig in a little bit more. Part of the reason why I like this so much is that I reckon the lyrics that would stick out to me, or the images from this that stick out to me, would be completely different to the ones that stick out to you and to somebody else and so on. So you're kind of bringing your own little experience to it, or your own sort of imagination to it, I suppose. It's very, very cool. Really just cool, fresh sound. I don't know if I've had one of those for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty. So they are a London-based band from Brighton. The album is out on 4AD. It's their full-length debut, but they've had a few releases before that. John Parrish actually produces this album as well. PJ Harvey's close collaborator. And it is, I mean, musically, there's a lot of kind of late 80s kind of guitar work in there, the kind of like, and early 90s as well. Sonic Youth, The Fall, Gang of Four, that kind of vibe is in there. It all coagulates really nicely in a way that just like keeps you really engaged, even though it's really hard to define why it is engaging. I still haven't quite figured it out, and that keeps me coming back to it, is really that kind of experience where you're like, I don't know why I like this so much. It is fresh. It's also melodic, but it's melodic in this really drawl way, and she's brilliant. I just love the delivery, and I love the way that, you know, there are songs here that are just like about, oh, maybe you know, moving out of a house or something like that, or, you know, talking about the things you're going to take with you, or, you know, I don't know.
She's sort of this like reluctant poetess, but she still manages, when you do coax her up on the stage, she manages to kind of just stare straight into your heart and just speak directly to you or at you. Like, she's a real she has a real fluency to her. Like, she sounds like she's not trying that hard, and that is what makes rock cool, you know. There's a kind of a, like, That's what made Julian Casablancas so cool on the first Strokes record. It's like, this guy sounds like he's not even trying. And I think that she has a similar sort of vibe to her, in that she just showed up. Like, she just kind of, you know, has a fag hanging out of her mouth, and she's like, oh yeah, I'll just say some words. I'll just say some images for what's been going on in my day or whatever. Obviously, that's not how the songwriting process works, and these things are kind of marketed deliberately in certain kind of ways. But I love it. I love the kind of buoyancy that it has. I think the guitarists, I think there's two guitarists, isn't there?
Oh no, there's a bass player and a guitarist, yeah.
Oh, it's just one guitar. Yeah, well, the guitar work throughout it, I think it's just brilliant. Yeah, I just really, really love it. It's the one to beat for me this year. So far.
It's been up there, definitely, yeah. Well, the next one I'm going to talk about is also up there. But before we talk about that, let's hear another bit of a song from Dry Cleaning's album, New Long Legs. This is Strong Feelings.
Just an emo dead stuff collector. Things come to the brain. Let's look at the geophys. Let's wait for the results from the geophys. Just an emo dead stuff collector, things come to the brain. Spent £17 on mushrooms for you, 'cause I'm silly. Just an emo dead stuff collector, things come to the brain. got scabs on my head. It's useless to live.
Okay, it is dry cleaning. Album is called A New Long Leg, and that is a reminder to myself to pick up a copy on vinyl because I like to own the ones that I really like as they come towards me and enjoy them.
Yeah.
And I have bought a copy of the next album that I'm about to recommend, which has been the other dominant album that I've been listening to in the last while. It is from Floating Points and Pharoah Sanders. It is called Promises, featuring the London Symphony Orchestra. I didn't really know what to expect from this one before it came out. I thought it was going to be some sort of live kind of album thing. It seemed like that. It was being pitched a bit like that. And, well, I was wrong. It does have that kind of feel to it, like a live gig that never happened. But it is an absolutely wonderful album. And I think probably the best way to start is to just actually play some of the music and come back then. This is Movement 6 from the album from Floating Points and Pharoah Sanders. Okay, so this album is really it's a journey in the way that we talk about journeys. It takes you places. It is that recurring melodic motif is there throughout the whole album of the 46 minutes. It's a 9-part movement. You're hearing that was movement 6 there you heard. There's a lot of suspense and wonderment, and it's a truly spectacular album. It's one that is the meeting of minds between a younger English electronic producer, Floating Points, as you may know, Sam Shepard, along with the 80-year-old Pharoah Sanders, the jazz saxophonist who was played with John and Alice Coltrane, and then with strings by the London Symphony Orchestra. It is it draws from that well of spiritual jazz, but it also is like, it feels like a thoroughly modern affair. It's got the electronics that Floating Points is often using in his music, but also, you know, the jazz background as well. And it kind of feels like this just pure kind of expression of emotion. I love the playfulness of using the repetition of that motif that goes out the whole album, but never, it's always chopping and changing or like morphing and moving around. And it never is just repetitious for the sake of it. And it's just like, it's so smart and so well done and so transcendental as well. It's like filled with light and like cosmic production touches. And it's just got this like wonderful flow to it. And what I love as well is the fact that the silence is woven into the album as well as a feature of the tracks. And even on the last track, you kind of, you think it's over and then it's not, it comes back in. And it's just an absolutely astonishing piece of work. And it's one that I've just been returning to. And it definitely feels like one of those ones where you just want to put on a pair of headphones or put yourself in a room and not do anything else and just immerse yourself in this album, Promises. I think it's absolutely amazing. And so I'm really happy we have two really great albums to enjoy this month.
I also absolutely love this record. I remember I put it on the day it came out while I was working, and I listened to maybe the first two track movements on it. And I switched it off because I knew I wasn't giving it enough time. I think it was kind of just happening around me, and I was like, no, I want to really sink into this. So I ended up going for a walk with it. Something I really appreciate about it is that we're not given any indication of, like, for such a visual piece, I suppose, like I definitely have a kind of a visual response to a lot of the sounds in this. We're not given any indication of what that should be. You know, the movements are named like movements 1 to 9, and again, like it is giving people that space to bring what they want to it. I have listened to this in various different moods. I've listened to this while I've been in a very good mood. I've listened to this while I've been in a bit more of a somber mood, and I've had different experiences each time. And I do love, I think you're dead right when you say that it is a thoroughly kind of modern and modernist affair, but I love that it's bringing together those kind of like the classical side of things, the very traditionally tonally classical sort of side of things, obviously backed up by the orchestra there, and then the jazz coming through, which is so restrained and delicate in how it's working around this, and then also to kind of give equal weight to a young electronic producer within that space. I think that that's really important, and I think it kind of elevates that genre and that style of music to equate it in a way to jazz and classical works. And I think, you know, deservedly so when it sounds like this. It's a stunning work. Like it's really, really stunning. And you know, you could listen to it 100 times and have 100 different responses to it. It's just gorgeous. And I love that repetitious melody going through it. It's never overdone. It never shows back up in a way that's trying to hammer it home or trying to reward you for anything. It just is. It's just part of it. It's really transcendental, I think it's a very good word for it. Very ethereal. I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but it really is. It is genuinely otherworldly.
I feel like I'm going to be listening to this over and over again for a long time. Returning to it as well. It feels like very restorative. It has a lot to give to us. It is it's a deep well for sure. And I love it. I think it's brilliant. I don't really know, and I must, you know, how the two of them really got together. I think it was more of like Floating Points has reached out, and he actually had played some Pharoah Sanders music at clubs like Berghain before, so I thought that was really interesting. It was like one of his tunes called Harvest Time. So he started a set, he did see of a 6-hour set, his first record was Pharoah Sanders Harvest Time. So he has long appreciated Pharoah Sanders, and it's so amazing to hear a musician in the twilight of his years being so present and so making brand new work and music this good.
Yeah, and embracing new forms of doing that, new ways of doing that, and embracing kind of, I don't know how much of this is kind of improvisationally recorded or written. I assume most of it is, because that's sort of his background as a saxophonist, but to just come to this work with such an open mind, and to these players with such an open mind as well. It's the meeting of three kind of different, you know, points of music that all kind of orbit each other. But here is an example where these are three styles just working together and sounding like its own thing. There are times when it sounds like a jazz record. There are times when it sounds like a classical piece. There are times when it sounds like an electronic piece, but it's never fully one or two. It's always all three of them. It is its own sound. It's gorgeous. It's really lovely.
So that is the albums, major albums we're going to talk about this on this episode. Will we move on to songs, perhaps?
Yeah, what songs have you been liking over the past month?
Yeah, well, before I pick out a few that I really enjoyed this month, as always, I would say by the time you listen to this, there should be a best of the month from the previous month. So April's best of the month songs. Every month I do 25 best songs of the month. And the playlist is on Spotify as well, available to everybody. There's I update that. It's actually currently updated, so you can see there's 3,500 plus followers on that playlist. So that's been updated now if you want to have a listen to it. 909 best of the month. It is there. And I'm going to highlight a couple of ones first that really stuck out to me in the last month. So it is from Kojak and it's called Town's Dead. Okay, that was Kojak. It is called Town's Dead. That is the title track from a forthcoming album, which is actually the debut album officially, the follow-up to Delhi Daydreams, the mixtape, released on June 25th this year. As you may have heard there at the start, it's a sample girl band song, Going Norway, and I love this track. I love the energy of it. I can't remember who described it, whether it was one of my friends or somebody on Twitter, but they said, they mentioned Young Fathers in reference to this song, and I love that. I think Kojak is such a versatile artist and is doing really interesting work, but also, you know, Town's Dead as well. The sentiment comes from something that is very prevalent at the moment in Dublin, and the lack of cultural spaces and places that are being shut out and co-living spaces that are going up and hotels and hostels and the things we are losing. His statement accompanying this track says, Town's Dead comes from the potential that I see in Dublin and in the people I'm surrounded by day in and day out. There's nothing but talent and ambition among young people. I'm constantly reminded of that through the art and music that I see being made, but I think so often the city grinds you down and takes your hope and your ambition. I know that it can change because so many of my friends express the exact same wants, desires and frustrations with living in Ireland. If so many of us are on the same page, then I know things can change. There just needs to be some sort of catalyst to kickstart that change. For me, that's always been art and music. Time and time again, amazing art continues to be made in spite of the struggles and setbacks that are presented when living here. The title track and the album is a fight against what can sometimes feel inevitable. It's a rejection of what people tell you is your destiny as a young person in the city. Town's not dead, it's just dormant. So, yeah, I'm really excited to hear this album. I think it's going to be a big one this year for sure, the Kojak album.
Yeah, this is a sound I can 100% get on board with Kojak. I think with Kojak, I love Delhi Daydreams, but I think he really clicked with me when I saw him live. He had a band with him, which I wasn't expecting. And I saw like Forbidden Fruit or one of those, or was at some festival a couple of years ago. It was the one I went to Father John Misty to see. And you did the Beastie Boys.
All Together Now.
All Together Now, that's the one. Yeah, I saw him at that. And I was like, oh, I love this kind of full sound from him. This really and then when I heard this, I was like, yes, this is the sort of urgency. Obviously, it is it's a topic that you drive yourself mad with the amount of music that's being made about it. In terms of like just how many more different ways do we have to say these things before something happens? But it's another take on what is happening to cultural spaces in Ireland. We've had a lot of bad news over the past week, 2 weeks in terms of cultural spaces for artists being shut down or not being reopened, or there not being plans for them to reopen after the pandemic. It's a shame that our most talented artists have to constantly keep talking about this topic, but Kojak is just, you know, he's the right person to be talking about this. He's poetic and lyrical, but there's also such a sense of urgency when he's speaking about this, and even in the music, even just it sounds like sirens. It sounds like it's an emergency, which is, I think, the way that this needs to be treated. This is a song that gets you quite angry actually about the state of things, which is good. I'm really, really, this is going to be a big album, 100%. Like, I think it really, really is.
I
just think he's brilliant. He hasn't put a foot wrong for me anyway so far.
Yeah, and that track he released last year, Smelly, I think it's brilliant. And then he had the song about No Hands, about growing up without a dad and stuff like that. And I just thought it was really, like, you know, there's multifaceted there.
He's a really, really versatile guy. Like, he's really able to step into a lot of different narrative situations, also a lot of different sounds. He's definitely... he's definitely one of the cornerstones of what our hip hop community is kind of sounding like in its infancy. I think Kojak will be very important to that sound going forward.
Yeah, very good, great. Before I give you a choice now, I want to play another song because this ties neatly into this. Kojak, Kevin Smith's brother, his name is James Smith, and this is another song I heard recently. He's been doing a lot of he was formerly the lead singer of Gypsies on the Autobahn, and he has started a solo project called just simply J Smith, and he also does electronic productions under the name Yearn. But he had a beautiful song and video for his song, the song is called Blood Orange. I'm going to play this for you. I don't know if you heard this yet, Andrea.
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, you're going to love this, I think, because there's a very obvious sound that I think you'll like in this. This is a song called Blood Orange. It's about a song written about his relationship with his wife, Fionn, and tells of a couple's second chance to reignite their passion and love. I'll play a bit of it. It's called Blood Orange. Okay, that's Jay Smith with vocals from NNIC Nick, but the song is called Blood Orange. He has had a number of tracks out recently, and they've all been really, really, really lovely, and worth recommending. Seems we're talking about his brother.
That's Kojak. Awesome.
Yeah, I thought you might like that one.
I really like that.
A little Radiohead vibe to that one for sure.
And, very Radiohead vibe, very Tom York sounding. Those vocals are lovely.
Yeah, and the video as well is, do watch it. It is very intimate and personal. It's himself and his wife in the video, and a lot of footage from their life, and it just works really well with the song, and it's a very moving video as well. So I would recommend that. So that's Jay Smith, and the song is called Blood Orange. Okay, over to you.
Okay, my next one is a artist who you enjoyed me saying the name of a few weeks ago because I wasn't sure how to say it. Biba Dubi. Biba Dubi? I don't know if that's right.
I don't know.
Biba Dubi. The song is called Last Day on Earth. I heard it on Six Music. I didn't really know her. I didn't know what her sound was. Just sort of missed the boat or whatever. And I just heard it being played on Six Music and I was like, what is this? This sounds like that 1975 song. And then it turns out it has been written by what's his name? Matty Healy. Jesus Christ. Matty Healy from 1975, I think, wrote it or co-wrote it. So the sound makes sense. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I love this song. I love the sound. It's really sweet, really kind of nostalgic. Very, I can imagine the kind of someone from Gen Z on a longboard. That's the only way I can really describe it. Like a really cool young person wearing clothes that I wore 15 years ago. You know, that sort of vibe. But she's just, then I went and I listened to more of her stuff. And I don't know why I haven't been just stanning this girl. Like, she's awesome. I think she's really cool. She's really fresh. She's tapped into a very cool summer, easygoing sound without it being trite or boring. Like, it's very, very, very cool song. Do you know this track?
I think I might have heard this once. I haven't really gone into her yet at all, I have to say, but
I think this track was a good, well, it was my way in anyway. I think it's great. I think you'll really like it. It's very fun and fresh, and it sounds like the first sip of a beer on a warm day.
Lovely. Sounds good. Yeah. Let's play it. This is Last Day on Earth by Biba Dubi.
Biba Dubi.
I can really hear the 1975.
Oh yeah, like, you just take her voice out and put Matty Healy's in, and you have what was the song that the song that sounded like the Busted song from the last record. Sorry, my brain is slightly fried. I don't remember the name of anything. Yeah, I really, really like it. It's just really sweet and nostalgic, and I'd kind of put it in line with maybe like Soccer Mommy kind of sound as well. That sort of like young women making music that is nostalgic for a time that they haven't yet lived through, which is a niche enough genre, but it's one that I can absolutely get on board with.
She had an album last year, actually, so that's very quick.
She had an album last year. I don't know if this is from a forthcoming album or not.
We won't look for a new album straight away. from her, in fairness. If you'd only did one in 2020, that's understandable.
That's grand. Fine. It's been a year.
Very good. That's Biba Doobie. The song is called Last Day on Earth.
Is this so fun to say? Biba Doobie.
Is that how it is? I'm thinking,
presumably. I don't know. Biba Doobie. Like, that's how it's spelled.
It's like having to remind yourself how to pronounce the word hegemony. I did it. I think I did it.
Hegemony.
Hegemony.
Hegemony. But you think it's hegemony. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. I remember I said hegemony. Yeah. I said hegemony in like a college seminar or something. And somebody corrected me. And I think that was the way around it was. So I think it's hegemony.
Hegemony.
But like nothing's real.
I actually looked up YouTube videos of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you ever look up those things? And yes. There's like people that make up like fake ones and put them
they're
up.
Great.
They're really funny.
Yes, playful pricks.
Playful pricks, a lot of them. Do you have another one?
I do, yeah. Another song I heard last week. So this is from an artist called Self Esteem. Great video to this. I was previously unfamiliar with Self Esteem, and as I wrote in the piece, I think I confuse Self-Esteem with the band Shame and a few other bands of its ilk. So I thought they were just going to be, it was going to be like a UK indie thing that I, rock thing that I wasn't probably going to like. Mm. Which isn't fair of because I do like some of that stuff. But, you know, I just had painted it with the wrong brush. And my friend Gavin sent me on the newest track. Her name is Rebecca Taylor. She was in the band. She was in an indie band called Slow Club, in fairness. So, but that was a couple of years ago now. She had an album called Compliments Please in 2019. And this song is called I Do It All The Time. It's brand new from a forthcoming album. And I love the vibe of this. It's very much, again, we're going more into the spoken word stuff. But there's very much like a pop thing going on here as well. So I love it. This is Self-Esteem. I do this all the time.
Be intimidated by all the babies they have. Don't be embarrassed that all you've had is fun. Prioritize pleasure. Don't send those long paragraph texts. Stop it. Don't. Getting married isn't the biggest day of your life. All the days that you get to have are big. Be wary of the favors that they do for you. You'd be working in McDonald's, so try and cheer up. I'm not sure. You're moving around too much. You need to stand still. Be more like Marie. Shh. Stop showing off. You're a good girl. You're a good tall girl. You're a good sturdy girl. I would love to tell you how the best night of your life was the absolute worst of mine.
So that is Self-Esteem. The song is called I Do This All The Time. As I said, new to me. And I just felt like it was very fresh to me. It kind of felt a bit like hearing Christine and the Queens for the first time. That kind of vibe where it's very different, very open. It's very positive, bit of spoken word, kind of cathartic, bit of anthemic pop stuff going on.
I get
on
a
there.
Bit of No Name.
Yeah,
a bit
yeah.
of No Name in there.
Very much hands on the shoulder kind of song, and actually in the video she is giving herself a hug as well, so
that's really cool. That's the first time I've heard that. That's awesome.
Yeah, really,
I really
good.
Like that.
Self-Esteem is due to play the Workman's Club in the future on November 9th, apparently. We'll see if
what
that
is a Workman's Club? What is that? I don't know
so
what that is.
It's May now. We'll see what happens. That's November. We'll see. But,
hopefully.
Yeah.
And you said that's off on a forthcoming record?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I don't have the details here of it, but it seems to be coming out soon. Yeah, I don't think it's actually been announced yet, but there is an album on the way.
Cool. The last one I'll recommend for us to listen to for the moment, and then I have a couple that I'll just kind of recommend at the end. The new Orla Gartland one, Zombie, I've been really enjoying. I remember sort of semi-struggled to get into Orla Gartland at first. I think it was the pared backness of her music. It didn't grab me. I think it sounded a bit like a lot of other stuff that was kind of coming out at the time. And I remember really, really wanting her to sound like a band. And here it's a much fuller sound. And I think that she's embraced it really, really well. I love how she sounds on this. I love how she sounds really brave and unapologetic and kind of ready to fuck things up. And it's got a great music video. I'm just like, yeah, I'm here now. I'm here with Orla Gartland. I'm ready to go to the gig and buy a t-shirt. So, Right. Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah, you've been a fan of hers for a really long time.
Yeah, but I think every song she releases has been, you know, I mean, there's been a quality present in the last, you know, couple of years that wasn't maybe there before. But I think that's like, you know, songwriter working on their craft and just really hitting the next level of songwriting. And those songs hit deeper. So let's play a bit of Zombie then. This is from Orla Gartland.
You're not a bad guy, not a bad guy, but you do this all the damn time. You go quiet and you fight it. You don't know how to feel. All of this rage in your hands, passed on down from your old man. And now somehow it's my fault.
Yeah, I can hear like a really, I think she's a really smart, she does a really smart take on, you know, that kind of style that you might have heard before, but she makes it her own and she really, you know, I really believe her when she sings, you know, I really believe Orla Gartland and the way she sings about things and I think she's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I think this sort of sound suits her. It's definitely kind of like following on from a lot of pop, maybe like a pop punk sort of edge to it. Very girl power, very, it does have the gleam of that sort of thing about it. And I think it suits her really well. I think, younger girls or, you know, younger women sort of need a voice like this at the moment, who's just kind of unapologetically poppy about it, her feminism and things like that. And I really, really like it. Smart. It's awesome.
Great.
Yep.
Brilliant. And like there's so many more other songs we could recommend.
Some ones I'd like just shout out. We don't need to play them at the moment, but for people to go and do a little, their own little treasure hunt would be... The Merle and Cobino one, they had two songs out, I believe. Ra Terra, is that how you say the name of the project?
I don't know. I thought it was Ragera. I'm not sure.
That's really awesome. Love that. An album by a band called Spirit of the Beehive called Entertainment Death, would really recommend as well. And then the What's With All the Pine by Houseplants, which is Dahi and Paul Noonan. First song off an upcoming long play, I believe, which is really, really cool. Great to hear Paul Noonan's voice just kind of out there in the world again. Those are other ones I would also recommend.
It was a busy week last week. Relatively quiet for April in terms of overall, but there's a lot of albums now to listen to from last Friday. I have a lot to listen to in there. That Norwegian artist that's been kind of blown up on the down low, Girl in Red, had an album, a debut album.
Yeah.
There's a many of Roisin Murphy remix album for those I love instrumentals, which is, you know,
that's a lovely thing themselves. To listen to.
Yeah, I've been listening to it a lot, so I'm probably not going to go near it just yet, but I will keep that for another time. And then there's just so many lovely things to listen to at the moment. One thing I'd like to shout out, just because I haven't seen anywhere else talk about it, a Dublin musician called Rob Smith, who makes music as the Swedish Railway Orchestra, kind of put a compilation album of some of the stuff he's put together before, called The Past is Unpredictable, Select Electronic Recordings 2016 to 2021. There are three discs of music there, and I've been putting it on a fair bit. It's really lovely. It's just a kind of instrumental electronic music. Some of it reminds me a bit of like Todd Terrier's, that kind of thing, but a bit more like homely. It's great. It's really good. So that's the Swedish Railway Orchestra.
There's also a double album released by The Coral, which is getting like really good reviews, which I wasn't expecting.
Oh, really?
Either of those things to happen. And I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to listening to it because they're a band I really liked back in the day. So
lovely. And another thing I will just quickly shout out, it's on my best of the month this month, is a song from Wheelhouse, Finch and Sick Nanley called So Sorry. So that's Dublin's Burner Records and Poxy Records labels, hip-hop labels, doing tracks together. I think that's really great. Really enjoying that at the moment. And a new band called Ugolino, which I've really enjoyed. And then another one that I added to the playlist that I haven't really done anything with yet, but there's a new Irish artist called Stella. The song is called You Are Here. It's on the best new Irish music playlist at the moment on Spotify, so you can listen to that. It is it's a lovely track. There's loads to recommend. So anything else you've been watching, listening or reading lately?
I've been watching, I finally getting around to Call My Agent or Dispersant. Absolutely brilliant, really really good. I wasn't very well last week, so I ended up watching quite a bit of it. I watched like two seasons of it, which is great. It's really good. If you haven't gotten around to it yet, it's really really great. Really funny and clever and smart. And it's also inspired me to re-download Duolingo on my phone and try and get back into speaking a bit of French again, because I haven't done that in years. What else? New series of Taskmaster is just unbelievable. Like everybody else in the world, I'm completely besotted with Mike Wozniak. If you haven't watched Taskmaster yet, good God, just go and watch it.
I might do that tonight because I have not watched the new series at all.
Niall, just go back season one, episode one.
I've watched loads of them. That was what I did around Christmas time. That's what I did. I watched a lot.
Watch the new series of Taskmaster. You'll it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so there's that. I'm reading Annie Mack's novel. I'm reviewing it at the minute. It's very good so far. That's all I can say at the moment. Very good so far. It's called Mother Mother by Annie McManus. I think it's out later in May, maybe the third week of May or the last week of May. So would highly, highly recommend that. And what else? I think that's it. Is it? Went back and watched some older episodes of Inside Number 9 because I hadn't caught up with the last season. The new season's going to be coming out soon. I think that's it. Oh, watch the first episode, I think, of the new Alan Partridge show.
Oh, I'm going to watch that tonight as well. I haven't seen that yet either.
It's really good.
Was that a Friday night? How crazy was that?
anywhere,
but still.
And you know. I finished Line of Duty today, but I will not be saying a single thing about it because people mightn't have seen it yet. But it was excellent. It was very, very good. That's it, I think. Yeah.
Great. I'm currently reading Megan Nolan's book, Acts of Desperation.
Oh, yeah. How's that going? Is it good?
Good. I've only just started it though. I'm about 20 pages in. That's it. Like, I really haven't gone much further than that. I watched a few of the best picture Oscar nominations before the Oscars were on, and to be honest, I didn't really enjoy them an awful lot.
Okay.
A lot of people seem to like Minari. I didn't really think it was brilliant, but maybe it wasn't for me.
I think the only one I've seen is Promising Young Woman, and I loved that.
Did you like that one? I loved it. I felt like that shouldn't have been a Best Picture nomination. It didn't feel like it was.
With this year though, like it's.
I know.
A funny year.
Yeah, I was just like, I didn't. It just felt odd. I didn't really enjoy it necessarily, but.
I loved it.
Trial of the Chicago 7, I'd kind of seen, but that's Aaron Sorkin, so I was like, I'm not watching that again. I'm not. I had to turn it off. I just hated it. TV show wise, I'm watching. Spiral, the French TV show that started in 2005. I bought a box set that I've only watched 4 episodes. There's so many things to watch, but some of it's a bit depressing. So I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I don't want a crime, murder kind of drama thing at the moment. Okay. And then another thing I listened to last week, which is the American comedians Kate Berland and Jacqueline Novak have a new podcast called Poog, which is Goop. Spelt backwards. So,
oh, I love that.
So they have, it's kind of like a piss takey, semi-serious podcast about wellness, but it's just using wellness as a kind of a topic in which to talk complete and utter nonsense.
Lovely. And
it's very funny.
I have a podcast recommendation actually, if anybody is watching the new series of Taskmaster and is just loves Mike Wozniak. He has a podcast. It's called the St. Elwick's Neighborhood Association Newsletter Podcast. And it's a fictional local newsletter whose funding has been rescinded. So they're putting out their newsletter as a podcast every week. And it's written and performed by Mike Wozniak. And it's like properly like laugh out loud funny. I was walking somewhere. I was out and about in the world anyway the other day, and was properly laughing walking down the street, and I think that hasn't happened to me in a while. So nice. Highly recommend that, whether you're watching Taskmaster or not. Actually, if you've know the context for Mike Wozniak and his sort of humor, I reckon going into this blind would be really, really good actually. Okay. So yeah, recommend that. It's got me back into podcasts because I'd just sort of fallen out with them a little bit for a while.
That happens. That's okay.
It happens. Happens sure when you have one as well, because you kind of listen to other people's podcasts being like, ah, they're doing a different thing, is it? No, this is so different that it doesn't matter. So it's fine.
Very good. Lovely. Okay, well, that's it from us this week. Patreon.com/909 if you want to support us, as you may have known. Andre, have you got your statement prepared from our discussion?
No, I don't have a statement prepared, but I will say this.
Go on.
A question was posed in the Discord this week. And any of you from the Discord listening, you know what I'm going to say. The question was, would you rather listen to, which of these two songs would you rather listen to over and over again? You're Gorgeous by Baby Bird or Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader? Now. The extent to which people were wrong was genuinely astounding to me. I could not believe. I think, didn't somebody put a poll on their Twitter, and 70% of the Gav put a poll on his Twitter, and 70% of Gav's Twitter or Instagram followers said that they'd rather listen to Top Loader over and over again over You're Gorgeous, which is a terrific song. Like, there's nothing wrong with You're Gorgeous. The two things cannot be equated in that question. It's such a ridiculous thing. And I was ratioed in the in the Discord. Like, there was no one. I think Michelle came to my rescue later on then, but no, it was absolutely ridiculous. I did say I'd prepare a statement, but I was too angry, to be honest. So I'm still not over it. So, I listened to the two of them. I put on Top Loader. I felt uncomfortable for the whole time because it is genuinely one of the most cynical songs I've ever listened to in my life. It's also a cover, and I think that should be taken into account when discussing this. And then I put on You're Gorgeous afterwards, and I just felt like I was sinking into a bath. I was like, this is lovely. What a song. It's brilliant. What a chorus. Yeah. What a joy. What a dance. It's just absolutely bizarre. I was so close, just like, because I'm a mod in the Discord. I was like, if people aren't careful, they're getting blocked in here. I'm muting them. I'm putting them in timeout. So yeah, that's what I have to say.
Okay. Well, I look, I mean, it's the whole point of it being
Well, no, actually, I have a bone to pick with you, Niall, which is you said you could argue that Top Loather is the better song, and I will. And then you never made that argument. So is there anything you'd like to say?
That's all I'd like to say. It is better. Oh, look, as I said on the Discord, myself and my friend once tried, I think when we were hungover, we were driving to Galway maybe or something like that, from Cork or something like that. I can't remember where we were going, but we... We basically played Top Loader Dancing in the Moonlight as many times as we could repeatedly. And we lasted 3 or 4 before I had to turn it off. It was put to me as like, this is a challenge. Let's try and do this for like an hour. And I was like, we were giddy enough that we were like, oh yeah, of course, this would be gas. And it was like,
yeah, and then it sapped all your joy and energy out of your body because it's an awful song. Yeah, genuinely, no, and there's not song. there isn't many songs I'll do this with, but if that song comes on the radio, I'll switch the station. Genuinely.
I don't know. I feel a little bit the same about You're Gorgeous, though.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. You're Gorgeous is a brilliant song. It's a brilliant song. That chorus, man. Oh, man. I don't know. What's the point? I don't know.
Look, listen. But look, everyone has their own answer to that question. And isn't that great? Yeah.
And not everyone can be right. It's okay.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, join the Discord. It's not always arguments.
No, it's never arguments, actually.
It's never arguments. Join the Discord. I have sorted out my newsletter.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So please do a couple. I've been getting thank you so much to people who have been subscribing to the Substack. You will be transferred over, so you'll still get the newsletters, I think. But if you could, if you wanted to go and support me, you can do so. Andrea-Cleary.ghost.io. It's a horrible URL. So if you go to my Twitter, it's my linked URL thing in the it's in the bio, and that is I'm now up and running. I did a retrospective for the best music of April. I have some more stuff coming up that's going to be fun. You can support me there for £5 a month, or you can just read the free things as well. That's fine. Just come and read the things I write. That's why I'm doing it. Great. That's it. So it's all sorted. It's lovely. Great. I'm delighted. It only took 3 weeks.
Well, you turned
it
around. Well, that's...
Yeah.
That's
big shout out to my boy, Justin, from Ghost, who's just been there. He's been my ride or die from the start.
He's been there for him.
I am 99.9% sure he does not listen to this podcast and has no idea who I am. But thank you, Justin. So
fair play
to
you.
That's where you can go and support
Thanks,
me.
Justin. Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Everybody. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back next week. I'm actually going to... out of Dublin this week, and that's why the podcast is happening now earlier in your feeds this week. I'm going to Derry to present a live stream gig that 909 is involved in. You'll hear all about it later on in the next couple of weeks, but I'm very excited to be able to leave.
I'm happy for you
again.
I'm
going
thrilled
to
for you. This
thrilled.
I am thrilled. I am genuinely thrilled for you. Like this is terrific. This is really, really good. It's a sign of the times.
All right. Okay. We'll talk to you next week. And thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Niall. Thank you, listeners. Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.